Hello, you reached John Finch, but not really because I'm not answering the phone. Please leave a message. Thank you very much.
Oh. Let's do it.
Okay, I'm going to go right now. All right, 5, 4, 3, 2. Welcome to the second episode of Morning Radio. Yes, we actually survived and we are here to try this crap again. This is the official podcast for Morning Project, your source, your English language source, I should say, for Asian culture and entertainment. My name is Eric L. Patterson and I am the editor-in-chief over at Morning Project.
And I'm Dave Garcia, project manager.
Cody?
Oh, and I'm Cody, and I'm the resident cute person.
And I'm Adam, the resident hot guy.
Hot guy. All right.
I guess.
Well, we thank everybody for being here and joining us again this time. And we are going to jump right into what is hopefully going to become a standard for this podcast, which is our five things of the week. Now, the tradition over at our message forums was on a regular basis to say the top five things that we were enjoying for that week. It could be absolutely anything. And the old adage is ladies first, so Cody, why don't you kick us off?
All right. I'll start from number five and work my way up. Number five is the Gothic and Lolita brand, Baby the Stars Shine Bright. Compared to all the other brands, like what they're putting out this summer is pretty much the cutest things I've ever seen in my life. Number four is the Korean boy group Shinhwa. They came out with a new album, and it's really, really good. Number three is the Johnny's entertainment group Adashi, because they came out with Kito Daijoubu, and it pretty much, it owned me. Number two is Tezuka, or Osamu Tezuka's Blackjack, and our friend on the boards, Finch, told me to watch it, and I was skeptical, but then I actually watched it, and it's really, really good.
Did you know that when Blackjack, the movie, came out here over in America, on the theatrical movie posters, I was quoted on the posters?
No
so
way.
So if you went to a theater and saw Blackjack, which is probably all of like three theaters in the country, my name was on there.
Yeah, because, you know, I just live by all that kind of Japanese culture. Anyway, and then my number one is an oldie but a goodie, and it's Captain Harlock. I started watching it because I'm into pirates right now, and it is one of the best fans ever created. The original series, that is, not the 10,000 spawns of it. Just the original show. And that's it for me.
All right. Well, how about our... did you have somebody have a comment?
No.
No, it's just a nice list.
Oh,
thank you.
Well, then why don't you go next, Adam?
Yeah.
Since you spoke up.
Okay. I guess this week, starting from the bottom, and number five would be Pom Poko. Yeah, has everybody seen that movie?
Raccoons with big testicles.
Yeah, raccoons with big old nuts. It's a Studio Ghibli film, but I really didn't enjoy it that much. I thought it was kind of long and kind of depressing if you kind of ignored all the slapstick. Number four would be Chrono Trigger.
Chrono Trigger.
Yeah. Chrono Trigger. I bought a PSP, like, shortly after the PSPs came out, but I've never actually bought a game for it.
Still waiting for a good one?
Yeah, I honestly am. I go to the store and I look through the games and nothing jumps out at me, at least for the prices they're selling them for.
I still have the one game that I bought on launch day, and that's it. I have, like, two movies for it, and that one game, that's all I have, so I feel you there.
Nice. Yeah. But I guess a week or two ago, the creators of the Super Nintendo emulator released a new version. And that one actually runs Chrono Trigger at pretty much full speed, so I've been going through that game again. It's probably my favorite game of all time, so I usually get through it about once a year or so.
Of course you own a legitimate copy, right?
Yeah, I do.
All right.
I bought it from Kroger, actually.
You bought it from Kroger?
That's so cool.
Like the grocery
store? Yeah, well, a long time ago, I guess they were doing movies and video game rentals. I think there was a little Blockbuster, like mini store in the corner, and yeah. I rented the game one time. Then I came back a year later and rented it again, and all the files and stuff were the same from whenever I last rented it. So I asked them if I could just buy it from them, because obviously nobody was renting it, and they let me have it.
Cool.
So that was kind of cool. Number three, my new pair of shoes.
Woo!
I've been wearing the same pair of old Skechers for a year or two now, and they're looking kind of bad. So last week I went and got a pair of Onitsuka Tigers, and they're hot.
I demand pictures.
Okay. I'll give you pictures.
Okay.
Number two, I guess, would be my new camera.
Uh-oh.
Yay!
I bought a real SLR film camera, but all right. I've yet to actually take any pictures with it. But I've been thinking about it a lot, so it's high on my list. Yeah, then I guess number one is the Apocalypse Dal show.
What?
That's a good one.
The Cute. Apocalypse Dal show. It's a podcast by Kentucky native living in Osaka, Japan.
Will Kentucky.
He recently he quit the show, though. So he said he was going to delete the site pretty soon, and it should disappear by the 11th this month. So everybody should go in there and check it out before it's gone. But
yeah, I think he's got like 40 episodes.
Yeah, he has a whole lot of them, and they're all about an hour long.
Yeah, it's really good, and he's really funny, too.
Yeah, he's a really funny guy.
So is it basically about just him, like, living in Japan and what wacky adventures he had, or...?
Well, pretty much. He'll sing songs and...
And basically make fun of stuff.
He makes fun of stuff. Sometimes he'll do a product review of whatever he's currently watching or listening to. I heard about the podcast... quite a long time ago. It was probably about whenever episode 15 came out or so. But I'm just really bad at starting stuff, so I've never actually listened to his show until now, because he's about to take it off. So I've downloaded a whole bunch of them. I've already listened up to like episode 14, and I really enjoy it. So that's my top five.
Woo!
Dave, would you like to go next?
Sure. I'll go ahead and continue that. My I started listening to podcasts again, so my favorite one ends up being J-Pop Blast, a show pretty much dedicated to J-Pop music and such, and it's pretty good. Next, video game, I got Harvest Moon, Friends of Mineral Town.
Woo! Yay!
It's one of those that I just, you know, always can't leave it alone. Gotta keep playing. And
that's the Game Boy Advance version, you... right?
Yep. Well, I started playing it with the
crack
the,
or something.
The original PlayStation 1 or the PS2 version?
No, the PlayStation 1 version.
I actually heard that was pretty good.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm actually a little apprehensive to say this, but I've never really gotten into that series. I played the version on Super Nintendo a long time ago, but I never really got into farming.
See, that's the one I started. That's the one I started with, and because it was like this farming RPG that was coming out, and everybody was kind of like, "What the hell?" And so,
yeah, but the original really one is really hard.
It was a little hard. But I
thought it was really hard.
No,
but I like the I love it.
And let's see, next. Of course, my favorite blog that I always read, try and read all the time, is A Cult of Pop.
Yay!
It's out there. Mm-hmm. And, favorite CD/DVD, which also I want, it's a, you know, it's been out for a while, but I still can't get enough of it, is Super Euro Party by Hanoi Team.
Yay!
I have not listened to that yet. I need to get
to that.
I know.
Gary!
Because it's that damn big fat guy, you know? I just... It's so hard for me.
Yeah, it's very distracting, but
he's only in
around
like
that.
Two songs, though.
I know.
Yeah,
I really.
He's not on the whole thing.
And there's always a version of the song without him.
Oh, is there really?
If you look for it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's on the single, so if you get annoyed by him in one song, find the single, and you'll get it without him.
I am obsessed with their song King Kong, so I need to listen to the whole entire album.
Oh, the whole thing's great. Like, all of it. Like, it's rare that I like, you know, half of an album, and I love the whole thing. You know, I actually was listening to it yesterday, trying to decide my favorite song, and I kept hearing each one and saying, this one's my favorite, so... But to narrow it down, I just went to iTunes, and iTunes told me that the one I've listened to the most has been Sing Na Na Na, which is from that album. So, which I love. That's my number one.
All right. So I guess that means it's my turn, right?
Yeah.
Go. All right. Well, these are not in any kind of order at all. So I'm just going to go by. Well, you know what? I'll try to put them in order. Okay. My number one, then, is going to be Cooking by the Book. And this is a song from the kids' show Lazy Town.
Oh my god.
Anybody at all know that show?
I think I've actually heard part of the song.
Okay, well, anyway, if you ever go to the site 4chan, the girl Stephanie from the show is a little bit popular there. I'm not going to explain why, but she's a popular person on that site. And
because she's so cute.
Yeah, okay, sure, because she's cute.
And the pink hair.
And they linked one day to this song, and so I went over, and I had seen they have, like, these animated GIFs that they took from this little segment, but I go over, and it's this segment of the show where they're singing about making a cake, and you can't be lazy when you're doing it, you have to cook it the right way.
Yeah, you gotta do it by the book.
Right, yes. And that song has got itself drilled into my head after listening to it. I watched that video, like, 20 times in a row, and...
Is that like the kitty cat song?
Yes, it's very much like the kitty cat song. Yes,
I'm a kitty cat.
Yes,
and a meow meow
it's
meow.
That kind of
meow,
thing.
Meow, meow.
It's terrible, but so that is my number one. As ashamed as I am to say, number two is Lost in Blue, which is a Nintendo DS game, and basically you and this girl get stranded on a deserted island, and when you very first meet her, you step on her glasses. Which then excuses the game to make her absolutely useless for most of it, so that she has to, you have to like feed her and give her all the food and make sure she drinks water and doesn't die and things like that.
Jeez.
This sounds awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Are you rewarded for your effort?
But, you know, and it's really, really hard at first because when you get there, you have like nothing to make food, you know, to cook with and no food and you're starving and you're dying of dehydration and. It's really, really tough at first, but once you get into it, it's actually enjoyable. But it's kind of like one of those Harvest Moon games where you do the exact same thing over and over and over. So, like, a traditional game day will consist of you going out, fishing, bringing it back, having her cook the fish, going out again, grabbing some firewood, exploring a little bit, grabbing some more fish, bringing it home, having her cook again, and then going to sleep. Mm-hmm. And that's basically the game. Mm-hmm. But there's something fun about it. And, I'm a big fan of the show Lost, so I can kind of pretend like, you know, I'm lost on the island there. With a,
you'll push the button on your way back.
Right. With a useless girl. But, so that's my number two. Number three is Sweets. I've just been on a very big Sweets kick recently, which makes one of our upcoming news stories even harder to talk about. But you go back and I realize how many good songs they actually did release. So I've been listening nonstop to a lot of their music. Number four is Kamichu, which is an anime released by Genion, I believe. And this young, I think, sixth grader wakes up one day and finds out she's a god. So she has to deal with having god powers now. And it's a little unusual because everybody...
Oh, so it's like Bruce Almighty?
I have absolutely no idea. I've never watched that. But I'll say sure, and just pretend like it is. But it's kind of strange because the people in her school are so nonchalant about her being a god now. They're kind of like, oh, hey, I heard you became a god. That's pretty cool. All right, see you later.
Cool beans.
But
see you in the bathroom.
In the first episode, she gets a little bit upset, and that causes a big typhoon to come hit Japan. And when you look up in the sky, in the middle of typhoons, like a big, her head is there. And it's really, really cute, and it's really, really bizarre at the same time. So it's a lot of fun. My number five is only number five because I don't own one, and it's the MacBook, the new Apple laptop that I am now obsessed with. And that somebody who was supposed to be on the show had just himself purchased, and I am very upset about that. But
you're jealous.
I am jealous because I keep going to
I
keep going to CompUSA, and it's so awesome. I want one. So that's my top five for the week. You know, I guess before we actually jump into things, why don't we just take a second to talk about our last and first episode of Morning Radio? What did you guys think after listening to it?
Well, I hate the way I talk.
I also don't enjoy listening to myself, but I think the more that I've listened to myself, I've been able to accept it. But no, I enjoyed the show for the most part. I thought it turned out a lot better than I was expecting.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I thought so too.
So do you think people are actually going to be listening to us?
Who cares?
Just do this and have fun. Screw the listener.
Exactly.
It sounded like listening to it again. It sounded like we were having a lot of fun doing it.
Which, of course, we weren't. We all hate each other, so, you know.
Yeah, that's why we do
I wish I'd been able to been there for the whole thing, because, you know, I felt like I could add it up to a little bit that you were talking about. As I was listening, I wanted to jump in going, oh, wait. I wasn't there, so.
Well, now you're here.
The one thing
that's why I'm here all day.
The one thing I do think is that I felt a little bad after the show because a couple segments sounded like we were just using them to promote the magazine, which we might not even be doing anytime soon. But so, you know, for anybody who's listening, we are going to try to make the actual content for the show a little more beefy and not just be like, hey, this is what you might be reading sometime soon, wink, wink, you know.
Maybe.
Yeah, because this podcast definitely isn't just an advertisement for what else we're doing. I mean, it's a little bit of an advertisement, but, you know, it's not.
Eric, you know you're just a whore to want to push it out.
I admit I'm a whore, but. So, should we just jump into things or any other comments before we start? Or?
Go ahead.
All right. Then let's start off with video games. As of last week, the Nintendo DS broke street date. What basically happened was, and I think the initial reports came out on Cheap Ass Gamer, that some Target stores and some Walmart stores were selling the DS Lite early. Which,
good job.
Its actual release should be this Sunday.
Good job, you guys.
I think it was Thursday is when it all started happening, last Thursday, and I found out at midnight, and 10 minutes later I was in my car driving to the closest Walmart to see if they had any, which they did not, and then the next morning at 9 o'clock I was driving to Target to see if they had any, which they did not. So, Nintendo...
Yeah, I went to three places as well.
Did you?
Yeah.
Any luck?
I tried Target and Walmart, no, nothing. Nope. But it's funny, because they have a big, giant space, empty space. Like, waiting for them.
That's what I heard. Like, a lot of places didn't even have the old ones. They just had just a big hole where they would...
Right.
Yeah. So, Nintendo was pissed. Very, very pissed. And it was very interesting because on Friday, it ended up... They had a whole Frapper page showing people where people had gone out, whether they had found any or not. And the internet community just totally came together to find out where DS Lights were at, and people were saying, you know, don't call anybody because we don't want to tip them off. This isn't supposed to be happening. Just go to the store and check. So yeah, it was pretty crazy, and it got shut down very, very quickly. But a lot of people ended up getting DSs before they stopped selling them.
Where did you find them at?
It was. I found it via. I think it was Cheapass Gamer. It was on Frapper. Then they had. They actually had like little blue tags for where people had found them, and white where they hadn't found them, or vice versa, or something. And it seemed like most of the places were in the Midwest, and I know of only a couple on the coast that actually found them. But there were like it was Minnesota, and I think Ohio, and Kansas City, and a couple other places in the Midwest.
I should have checked my Walmart.
Yeah.
Crap.
So, speaking of the DS, is anybody here going to be picking one up on Sunday besides yours truly?
Me.
Are you?
I am.
Now, you don't have one currently, do you?
No, I have a mini. Or a micro. Game Boy
but
micro.
Not an actual DS.
No.
Okay.
Not a DS.
And Cody is happy with her pink one, I think, so she won't be getting...
Yes. I love my pink one. It matches my cell phone.
For like a split second... I thought about looking for a DS back whenever they were leaked, but then I kind of realized that I hardly even use my PSP, and that would just be another $130 that
But the library of the games is totally
exactly.
Different.
Yeah, but I mean,
the difference is the DS actually has good games on it. But you don't
yeah,
want to
well,
play.
That's true. But I mean, I have. Quite a few systems that I just have not played at all, like over the past year.
Come on.
So I figured I could save that money towards getting a MacBook or something.
While I certainly don't want to sway you away from getting a MacBook, because I always support that idea, the thing with the DS is like there's so many games that are just so unusual and different that, like, for me, the reason I've come to love it so much is because... It's an experience that I can't get on any other console. And when I play, you know, PS2 or Xbox or GameCube or whatever, and then go play the DS, it's just totally different, and it's so unique that, you know, it draws me to want to play more of the games, I think.
Yeah, I think Nintendo's learned that, and they're really doing well with it, especially, you know, from what we've seen with the Wii so far, that, you know, they're out to give everyone something totally different.
I like PictoChat, actually. I'm not sure why. I just think it's a lot of fun.
PictoChat should have been online.
I agree.
And I think that when they made the DS Lite, that it might have ticked off the owners of the old one a little bit, but they really should have upgraded the PictoChat to be online usable.
Yeah.
Because that would be such a fun thing to have, you know, just sitting there, like, wherever and, you know, chatting with people online and drawing the pictures and everything.
Actually, I use my PictoChat a lot when I'm out, like, shopping, and I'm with my sister, and I'll be like, Corey, get this, and I'll write it in the PictoChat, and she'll be like, okay. Isn't that good? It's so goofy.
Yeah, a little bit. One of the interesting things is, you know, talking about the DS is how good it's doing in Japan. I've got, from Media Create, and this comes via... NeoGAF.com, their forums over there. These are the Media Create sales for the 22nd to the 28th of May for Japan. And I've rounded the numbers up to like the next 1,000. So to give you an idea of how sales are going over there, for that week, the PSP had about 27,000 units sold. The PS2 had 20,000 units sold. The Game Boy Advance SP had 7,000. The Game Boy Micro had 2,000. The Xbox 360 had 1,000. The GameCube had 1,000, which means the GameCube and the 360 are, you know, head-to-head battle here. The old Game Boy Advance had 44 units sold, and the Xbox had 8 units sold. Okay? So now let's compare that to the DS. The old school DS sold 4,000 units, which means it beat out the Game Boy Micro, the 360, the GameCube, the Game Boy Advance, and the Xbox. But the DS Lite had 285,000 units sold for that week.
Wow.
Okay. Now, if you take every other system on sale that isn't the DS, it adds up to 58,000 units, which means the DS still sold about 230,000 units more by itself. And then that's just the Lite, not even the old DS. So that's like nuts. Now,
do you think it, You think it's like Nintendo's year, would you say?
I think that whatever they did with the DS has really, really hit in Japan. And, you know, they just have so many games now that, I mean, they're getting the traditional gamers, but they're also getting the non-gamers. And what I think it is it's so much easier to have a handheld in Japan versus trying to find a space, you know, for all your consoles and everything. You know, you've got stuff like Nintendogs and Brain Training and all those things that are selling just like mad. And with the DS, you can have a family that has two or three of these things, whereas a console, you only have one. And if you look at the DS versus the PSP, the DS has over the PSP for this year is almost 2 million sales, and in the entire lifespan is almost 5 million. So that means the DS has sold almost 5 million units more than the PSP. And a figure I saw was that if the DS stopped selling today and the PSP kept selling at the current rate it's selling at, it would catch up to the DS around summer of 2010. That's how far behind it is.
Oh,
so, and with you know, PSP over here is doing great. I mean, PSP and DS over here are neck and neck, and they go back and forth each month. But with the PS selling so far, the PSP selling so far below the DS in Japan, one has to wonder how long a lot of really good support is going to continue for that system. And there are a lot of good games coming up soon for the PSP, but if the DS keeps killing it with that many extra sales, you know, I wonder how long the PSP will be a major player over there. All right. Oh. I bored him to death.
Oh.
And one other thing in the video game news is the PS3. The backward compatibility, at least for the initial run of systems, is going to be via hardware instead of software. The initial idea was...
Why is that important?
Well, the...
Yeah.
It's important because of possibly because of price. One has to wonder if that's possibly helping increase the price for the systems. Because the initial idea was to have the PS3 emulate the PS2 and the PS1.
Oh.
In a kind of Xbox 360 fashion, but the software emulation just was not getting to where they needed it to be. And Sony's talked so much smack to Microsoft about having their PS3 be like 99% backward compatible that what they're basically going to be doing now is taking the PS2 chip and just slapping it inside of PS3.
Right. Well, that's what Nintendo did with the Game Boy Advance. Whenever that came out.
And also, was it the...
But it was also a lot cheaper.
Also the...
than the PS2. Yeah.
Yeah, really.
There was another console where oh, I think they made the PS2, or no. There was some console where the console sound chip was actually the entire processor from the previous generation. Maybe that was Game Boy Advance, I don't know. So, you know, one has to wonder if that's helping to keep the PS3 cost up and if that's going to be yet another stumbling block to getting it to go lower as time goes on.
Mm.
We'll have to see. I think that does it for our video game section this podcast, and we're going to switch over to music. This is just like the podcast about groups breaking up, isn't it? Because last week we had Morning Moose May losing two members. This week, Sweets is breaking up, and it's not new news. But what is new is that their final single came out, and it was the aptly named Color of Tears. I think most of us...
You're laughing?
You can't laugh at Sweets breaking up. It's a horrible thing.
Sorry. I have...
Adam's just cool. So now we've all listened to this last single. So what did we think of it?
There wasn't much to it.
Yeah.
Well, I enjoyed the sound of it, but I don't think there was there really wasn't much to it. The song's about like 5 minutes long, 5.5 minutes long. By about minute four and a half, I was just like, this thing is still going? I mean, by that time, I was ready for the song to have been over.
Yeah, so, I didn't think it was very strong.
And that's the problem, yeah, is there isn't going to be a next single. This is the last one. It's a crappy ending.
I didn't think it was very strong to go out.
No, it's not. I mean, it's just like there. You listen to it once and you totally forgot what you just heard.
Right. Mm.
That's true, because I really can't remember how it sounds right
now. Yeah, I don't even remember how it goes anymore.
But the thing is, it's such a big contrast from their other stuff. The other stuff was like so distinctive. Everything had a sound. Every song was totally different than the next.
And
that was great.
Yeah. Yeah. And the
like, I'm thinking of their first one. Like, the very first single, and then this one, I'm like, there's... Why? How? It's downgrade.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, like, the even the video was just... It was like it cost, like, $10 to shoot it, you know? And
yeah, the video
it looks like
really...
something I made.
Well, the video looked like outtakes from the Mia and I Tsubasa
single. That, yes, not could have been. Not to mention that. It was like just them on a beach, like, okay, just let's roll some footage of whatever we have spliced together, and there you go.
That makes me so sad.
The part
I'm
like,
sad now.
I like the best of the video was when they're all hanging around inside the, I guess, hotel room or something, and then this wind comes out of nowhere and just blows their hair back. That was really out there.
So it's a terrible end for what I think was a great music group. I remember when they first started coming together, and I was living in Japan at the time, and there was a show called Golden Ticket, I believe it was. And as far as I understood it, the idea was they had selected a group of, I believe it was. It might have started off as six girls instead of the five. Because I think at some point there was supposed to be a sixth member, and then it never ended up happening. But they brought in these five girls. They told them that their name was going to be Sweets, and that their first single would be called Lolita Strawberry in Summer. And then they actually sent... Gotta start the Lolita jokes, don't we?
Yes.
They sent the girls out to do promotion for the song, and... I was under the impression originally they were actually going to be writing the lyrics of the song and everything, but, you know, my Japanese wasn't so hot at that point. But anyway, so these girls came around via this show, and we talked about them for a bit on the cafe, and then we kind of forgot about them. And then later on, their single came out, and, you know, we all checked it out. And one of the first things you noticed was for this group of five rather young girls, you know, ages like 12 to 13, it was a very interesting, to say the least, video.
Yeah.
Because it had a very mature sound to it. It had, at times, a little bit of questionable innuendo to their outfits and their,
just a little
their
bit.
Dancing and everything. And it was like you had this group that they were selling on the idea that, hey, we're five young nubile girls here. You know? But the thing was that the song was really good. And their dancing at first was, you know, okay, but as they went on, their dancing got really good. And the first three singles all in a row were really just really good songs for it being a group of five 12 or 13 year olds.
Yeah, I mean, well, the songs were good for you know, a group of adults, really.
Mm. And, you know,
that's my favorite song by them, actually, is their very first one. I thought it was this, like, they came on so strong, like, hey, look at us.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, because I remember getting that first video and just playing it, you know, all the time, and then the second one came out, Love Raspberry Juice, and I thought that was even better than the first one. And then you had Love Like Candy Floss, and that was really good. And
yeah, I like that one.
It was, and what was interesting is when you see, you know, all these groups of young girls put together, and we can name off, you know, a whole long list of these groups, singing isn't usually one of their strong points. It's looking cute, or looking cute in photographs, or looking cute on stage, or looking cute in this new outfit, you know. But you had the two main singers, which were Aya and Haruna, and they could sing. I mean, they could legitimately sing. Aya, I think, more so than Haruna, but it was, you know, you had this group of young girls that they were pushing, it seemed like, because of them being, you know, cute, not necessarily cute, but like semi-sexy young girls, but they could sing, and their music was damn good, and I think they screwed up from the beginning because they were pushing them for the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's almost like, I think maybe they were just trying to really prove themselves, like, you know what, you know, we're just really going to do it. And it really worked well for them.
And I think,
you know, instead of being the typical, oh, it's been done before.
Right. But what actually happened was that because of the way they were doing things, they actually got a backlash. And a lot of people kind of argued their Lolita-ness. And so you had that happen, and then you had Bounce Back, which was the team of musicians behind their first mini album, Bounce Back. I don't know the exact story, but for some reason they were gone out of the picture. So you had Bounce Back gone, and you had their image change from the kind of Lolita-ish image they had originally to being a standard cute young girl group. And I think, you know, I'm one of people who would argue that some of their later songs were still very, very good. They didn't have that really interesting sound that their first group of songs did. But some of their later songs were really good, but they did kind of fall into that. You know, I mean, and I'm not saying that I fully support the idea of putting them out there as, you know, bait for older guys looking for younger girls, but they had this kind of interesting, you know, they were young, but they had a more mature look and sound and dance thing. And then later on, they kind of just became a little more of a generic young girl group.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like to me. They just kind of it's almost like they lost their identity. They went.
Yeah.
And it kind of seemed like they were damned they did and damned they didn't. Because they couldn't keep that old look because too many people argued about it. But then the new style they kind of fit into, you know, it just didn't make them stand out as much as they used to before.
That's weird. I didn't realize those. The backlash against them.
There was a little bit. I mean, I don't know how big it actually ended up being, but I do know there was some backlash about them being a little too forward in their young, sexiness kind of thing.
What a tragic end.
Yeah.
It is, and, you know, I think looking back, if you look back on all their music, I think they had some really, really good music. And like I said, they could actually sing. And and I kind of like the fact that they were a younger group, but they had a little more mature look to them, because it was a very interesting, you know, I'm totally spacing off the word I'm trying to think, contradiction or something kind of like that.
That works for you, doesn't it?
Well, I guess so.
Well, I think they kind of started this whole trend of these really young girls singing stuff. I mean, there were groups before. I mean, the members of Morning Musume were pretty young when they came out, but after Sweets came out, you know, Hello Project brought out Berries, and then there were a couple other groups that have come and gone. But I think that just kind of shows how much of an effect they had on the scene.
And what I think when you mentioned Morning Musume is what I think I liked about Sweets over them is that in Morning Musume you had these younger girls coming in and they were always ended up in these ridiculous outfits and they were just there to look cute, you know, and you know, everybody remembers the Six Generation auditions with what's her name? Sayumi, where she absolutely butchered the Melon Kinembi song. You know, Tsunku didn't give a crap if they could sing or not. You know, they had to just look cute, and okay, we'll teach them enough to sing just enough that they don't get stoned on stage, you know. Whereas Sweets, they came out and they actually had just regular clothing on. They weren't looking like a freaking idiot. And they got to actually sing, and it just sucks. My poor Sweets.
Pretty
my
much.
Poor Sweets. Now they're dead.
In a nutshell.
And we have nothing to really fill the gap of them leaving. Because, I mean, like, I like, does anybody here listen to Cute or C-Ute or how the hell you pronounce them?
I've never listened to them. I don't think you can really... Well, I don't think they've really released much stuff outside of the fan club or website or whatever.
But, I mean, they aren't really a comparison. And, you know, Barry certainly isn't a comparison. And there's... I don't know. There's just... Because every young girl group ends up being just these ridiculously cute, sugary groups, you know?
Eric, you sound like you need a hug.
I do need a hug. My poor sweet.
Do you want a hug?
And I was going to be prepared and be here to tell you what all the members were going to be doing after the breakup, but I don't have that information.
Has there been any information released? That's really... the main thing I'm concerned about. I'm really not like too sad that they're breaking up and stuff. I mean, I haven't really gotten into their last few singles, but I think from following the group since they started and, you know, seeing how they've grown, I think the girls have really, you know, come into their own, and I would really like to see what they can do in the future. But now that the group's gone, I don't know. Where are they going?
I think Miori, I think she's totally done with the industry. I think she's going to go back just being a regular old average girl. I think Aya and Haruna, if anybody survives, become singers, I think those would be the two that go on. I remember a little bit about something that Maya was going to be doing, but I can't remember what. I will, for the next podcast, try to figure out what it is. I don't know if, like, full details have really been released about what their plans are. But I think some information had come out. And I'll look and then try to find out about that. And then report on that next podcast.
Well, I've heard that, you know, Sweets, they're supposed to be doing, like, a farewell concert.
Yes.
But whenever, like, that's, like, their last appearance. And they're all staying together. But... I heard that not all the members are going to be there.
Miori is not going to be there.
Oh, yeah.
What the
yes,
hell?
I know
what's
it.
Up with this
I
man?
Mean, this is like a really bad ending to this group.
God.
It is.
Good
yeah,
job.
It's their final concert. They're not going to have all the members there, and they've got a crappy last single, and ugh. It's terrible.
God. That's going to suck.
It does. You know, before we finish on them, I got a chance to meet them when I was in Japan the last time. I was there in late July, early August of 2005, and their single Earthship had just come out, and they were going to have a concert. I think it was their first and, I guess, only real big tour. And the concert was going to be in Osaka. So they had a thing where if you went and bought the single, then you got a little ticket and you could meet the group. And now in Japan, when they say meet the group, it means walk up on stage and shake their hand for about 2 seconds and then walk off the stage, or more literally, you'd actually be pushed off the stage, and that's you meeting them. So I actually tried to get an interview with them for us, but that was a no-go. But I was so determined to go, so I bought the single and got a little ticket to go to the little meet thing. And a few days later, I went to the, I think it was Disc Pier, and went up to, like, third floor, and gave them my ticket, and they handed me another little ticket with a little number on it. And number was 98. So I go in, and there's a bunch of, you know, Japanese Sweets fans there. But there's also this German guy standing there from a German anime website. And so we kind of talked a little bit. And everybody filed in according to the number that you'd gotten when you got there. And I was sitting quite a ways back. And then the German guy was sitting right next to me. And they, you know, do a little promotional stuff. And then the girls come out. And they have a little quote-unquote interview with their one of their management people, and they're talking about, you know, what they did over the summer and the concert next day and how excited they are and whatnot. And then they went off stage and they played the Earthship PV. The girls came back out, and then it was announced that two people were going to get to go up there and get a signed T-shirt from the girls.
You said it was like a stage?
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was basically set up in this empty area of the store on like a third or fourth floor, and they had built a little stage. It wasn't where the concert was going to be at or anything. It was just
So it's just like a raised
platform. Yeah, just a little raised platform. Yeah, nothing too fancy. The big just like a curtain behind it or something. So all the lights were kind of down, so the girls couldn't see anybody out in the audience or anything. And they said that they were going to have two people come up and get T-shirts. And I think the first girl was Mai, and she picked a number, and she announced it, and it was one of the guys behind me. And behind me was this very, very hardcore Sweets fan group. Yeah, awesome. So the guy's, like, totally excited, and all his friends are calling him, you know, a jerk for being the one to be picked. And he goes up there and says hi to Mai, you know, and shakes her hand and gets a T-shirt and comes back out. And so they call the next number. And they call number 98 in Japanese. And I look down and I'm like, oh my god, this is my number. And it was one of those things where, like, I was pretty sure my Japanese, you know, I'd heard it properly and understood it properly, but I was a little unsure. So I kind of stand up and the whole crowd...
They stood up and yelled bingo.
The whole crowd's still looking around trying to figure out who it was that won. And I walk over and there's this older Japanese gentleman who's kind of like one of the, not really a guard, but one of the, you know, protection for the girls. And I show him my number, he's like, and he like kind of like, yeah, and just, you know, motions me toward the stage. So I start walking up there, and the crowd starts like, boo, because they didn't win. And all of a sudden, like, I get into one of the lights where they can see me, and I'm like, hell yeah! And I'm like throwing my arms up in the air cheering. And everybody sees that I'm this, you know, this Caucasian guy who won. And all of a sudden, they all start like, yeah! And they're all cheering for me and everything. And Haruna was the one who...
It's that guy from TV.
Yeah, it's that white guy on television. Because, you know, we all look the same to them. So Haruna was the one who picked my number. And she's kind of like, kind of look out in the stage to see who it is that won. And so I walk up until they can out into the real light so that she can see me. And all of a sudden she gets like this look of terror on her face. Like, oh my god, it's a foreigner. And... she turns to talk to one of the management, and I don't know if the German guy had talked to them before or something, because she asked her management in Japanese if she was supposed to speak to me in German. And I'm like, no, you can speak in Japanese. That's fine. I said we're in Japanese. And she kind of like got this relieved look on her face, and she looks at me, and she's like, thank you, Betty Muchi. And she hands me the T-shirt, and I like, you know, I give her this big smile, and takes a T-shirt and thank her. Clear. Yeah, and so I look at the crowd and, like, raise my arm, and they're all like, yeah! And I look over at the rest of the girls, and they're all, like, cracking up, so I, like, you know, wink at them and everything. And...
Clear.
Yeah, I know. And then so afterwards, we got to go up, and we got the... If you had a ticket from actually buying the CD, it came with a little ticket, then you could go up, and you could shake their hand real quick, and, you know, I got to go up and say hello to all of them, you know, really fast, and...
But no pictures or anything?
No pictures. And God, I'm trying to think, because two of the girls were kind of freaked out about speaking to me because, like, they were nervous, you know. But then three of the girls, I think, Haruna and maybe Aya and one other one were, you know, really excited by seeing me. And they said hi and thank you in English and everything. But what was funny was every time you bought the CD single, you got a coupon to go shake their hand. And there was a guy there, I swear to God, who had bought 15 copies of the single. So he had 15 of these tickets. So he just kept getting in line and going up and, you know. And it was like a 5 seconds you got to stand up there and shake their hand. That's all it was. But he just kept going up over and over and over because he had like 15 of these stupid tickets.
That guy is awesome.
So I you know, I got a small chance to meet them in person. And I got their signed concert T-shirt. And now they're no more.
While they were in
their prime, yes. So it's... And I wish...
Do you mean musically or age-wise?
Oh. Well, that was a little bit after their age prime, you know, so musically it was okay, but they were getting a little too old for me at that point, you know, so.
That's what I figured.
Joke, by the way, folks, there. But, you know, now it kind of makes me wish I would have been there to go see their concert, because they're not going to have any more concerts, so. And I heard their concert was really good. I picked up the concert video, but I haven't actually watched it yet.
Yeah, I think I have a copy of that somewhere.
So that's sweet. So now, Adam, do you have a Yaguchi story for us?
Yeah, well, I guess keeping in the theme of the show, we got some news about Yaguchi today. I guess over the weekend, it was made official. She's single.
Oh my god.
No!
Yeah, no!
Is she really?
Yeah, apparently her and her boyfriend Oguri Shim,
who's hot.
Yeah, he's a hottie, but I don't know, the official report is that they're both too busy with their work and stuff to ever actually spend time together. So they've kind of broken
up.
So
now, didn't she lose her job in Morning Musume because of this guy?
Yeah, that's why I kind of think that reason's a little bit crap. I mean, because she lost her job over this relationship. I figured if it meant that much to her, she wouldn't. No, this wouldn't get her down.
She wouldn't work.
Well, no, I mean, if the relationship meant that much, it wouldn't be a problem not to see each other for like a month or so.
Yeah.
But rumor has it that Oguri's been cheating on her. And that's the real reason. Yeah, about a month ago, I guess because they're so busy, he started seeing somebody else. And I haven't heard any names yet.
Okay, so we don't have any idea yet of who this might be.
We don't really have any idea, but the rumor is that he was seeing another girl behind her back. Starting about a month ago. Well, I'm not really surprised that this happened, honestly. I mean, back whenever this was first announced, I supported him. I really like Shim. I mean, I've been a fan of his work before. He's a drama actor. And I've seen a number of his shows. And out of, you know, most of the talents and celebrities that I know of in Japan, I mean, I really like him a lot, so I really didn't have a problem, you know, back whenever all the other fanboys were all crying, and like, no, Yaguchi, how can you do this? I was like, yeah, go girl.
But now the guy she gave up her job for screwed her over, possibly.
Yeah, but this doesn't surprise me, because sometime in December, I found out that he's a smoker.
Damn cigarettes!
It's the cigarettes. I knew it.
They took Eyebone down.
That
they're
is
taking
so gross.
Yaguchi down.
I still love him though. I'd still take a bullet for him.
See, I think that really sucks, man. If that's true, because you know, she lost. I mean, that was a pretty big position she had there. You know, she was the leader of Morning Musume.
Yeah, well, Morning Musume is really on its last legs now. So
yeah,
She
said
really
she
mind.
Didn't. Yeah, she said she didn't want to be leader
that's
anyway.
Nice cash, probably though. She's gonna milk it for a little
still,
longer.
But I don't think. I mean, as great as she is, I don't think she could help it.
Poor Yaguchi.
Yeah,
we love her.
Their relationship had been going for about a year and a half, so I guess they're pretty serious.
So
I mean,
sad.
This is kind of sad news.
I'm really sad.
But now, Adam, she's back in the market for you, so.
Oh, well, I know.
Go for it, Adam.
I can't get too down about this. I'll thank the boy.
My dearest Yaguchi, I heard recently that you became heartbroken. I will be there to comfort you, should you ever wish. Your dearest Adam.
She'd be all over that.
I heard on a television show a long time ago, she said that she loved to have happy kids, so. Yay for me.
So going from one ex-Morning Musume member to another, a little more sluttier one, that is. We have Godomaki. Does anybody want to talk about what Godomaki's been up to recently and where her hands have been?
Boobies.
Yes, it would seem that in her latest music video, Glass No Pumps, she's been a little solidified there.
A little touchy feely.
Yeah, this is a direction that Hello Project's been kind of trying to go in
exploring.
Recently. Yeah, they've been exploring recently. But I really don't understand why they're doing that. While they're still trying to portray, well, they have like some groups are like trying to portray them as virginal and really innocent and just like cute little girls, and then other groups they're trying to force sexuality on them.
But Melon can envy.
Really, yeah, but it's not really.
Yeah, see, so, you know, just seeing berries and those G strings just didn't really do it for me.
Right.
That video was just wrong.
Well, I think it the sexy image works with Melon can envy because, you know, they're older ladies anyway, so I think that kind of mature image works for them.
With
who? Melon can envy. It works for them, but not for like anyone else. Well, no, I think it kind of works with Mackie because she's always been like a little sex pot.
I think, but
I don't know about this whole boob thing, though.
I think she's
always
been a little more of like a sophisticated sexy. You know, because, you know, as some have kind of mentioned about this, maybe a little more, they're trying to like, you know, codify her for, you know, like doing the thing that Kotokumi's kind of going for. But, you know, I don't think that's really Maki. I think Maki's always been, she's been sexy, but she's been a little more of like a dignified kind of sexy, not just down, you know, show cleavage, get bump and grinding kind of stuff.
Yeah, you can be totally sexy without having to do all that.
Yeah, definitely.
So is this a bad?
Should I be taking notes?
is this a bad? A bad thing for her?
Then? I'll send you a list.
Was this a wrong step?
Well, I think the thing with her is just, you know, and especially in this video, it all seems really forced. And it's like, you know, I saw the beginning of Hello Morning, you know, and she did the same performance. And it was kind of funny that, you know, she didn't do it like the whole time like she does in the video. She did it like once, but it was funny that like right before her did it, there's like a, you know, one of the cameras zooms in smack dab on her chest and like waits for the hand.
Whoa.
Like, oh, here it comes, you know, and then it was over. It's just like, okay, that was weird.
Awkward.
So it's like, you know, total gimmick.
Right.
It kind of reminds me of like Ayaya. You know how she lately, she's been releasing a lot of mature, slow
and it's just wrong
songs, like to try to get a more adult feel. And it ends up failing because I haven't really liked anything at first since like Kiseki Karino Dance.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I just quit listening to her album. Well, there was that video clip she did with Hinoi Team that was really good.
Yeah, that was really good. But otherwise, man, she should get back to the cuteness. She can be grown up, but still do cute stuff.
Yeah,
like, there can be a balance.
I think that's like where her strong point is, and I think they should be trying to like focus on the strong points of these girls, and not be trying to force them to act like this because this is what's popular now. Oh, Kotokumi's big new thing, so we should try to make a sexy.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. Is this happening just because of Kotokumi and how popular she is lately?
I would imagine.
I think so.
That has a big influence on the music industry now. Is her huge success
and her sexiness, her very open sexiness.
Well, it seems to work for her, and it's everyone, I guess, just wants to jump on the bandwagon with it. It's like, okay, who can we get to do that?
But what works for Kotokumi is not going to work for everyone else, obviously.
Right, I barely think it works even for her.
And it feels a little out of place in Hello Project, you know. Well, I guess she, I don't know. I mean, is she really technically still full on Hello Project, or is she like, you know, I'm not sure how they actually classify Maki.
Well, Maki, you know, she recently started in that lesbian drama, which I never actually watched because Bro watched an episode. He said it was crap. So
I
never bothered looking that. So maybe if I had watched that, I would have had a different opinion on how I view Maki.
I don't know. I just don't know about it. I guess I'm not a big enough fan to really care, but... And plus, I didn't really care about the song that much either, so...
Oh, see, yeah. I like the song. I thought it was really good. It was danceable. I liked it.
She had a nice dress.
Yeah, her outfit was completely adorable.
That's what I remember.
I thought it was cute. Yes.
Well, I wouldn't have a problem
really,
with,
really
you know,
soft
I
fabric.
Would certainly touch it, you know. Especially in that situation, but I mean... otherwise,
so, Eric, should I hand you a shovel?
Moving on to Oricon Weekly Singles. To get out of that.
Yay!
And we want to give a disclaimer here, because there was a couple interesting pieces of feedback on our last Oricon Weekly Singles section, which I personally liked, but the Oricon singles come out the same day we do this podcast. So we don't get a whole lot of pre-planning to go on with our coverage of it. So, that said, let's jump straight into it. Did we do number one? Did we do one Ooh. First, or we do 10 first?
No, do ten first.
Go down.
All right. Yes. Number 10 is Hurricane Riri Boston Mari by AAA.
It was a nice summer jam.
Yeah, I think this was a nice summer song. You know, listening through all of the other songs on the list, I'm really not a big fan of any of them. Well, most of them, they all seem so slow and
yeah,
they just don't feel summery to me. I want something that's got energy in it, and I think AAA has one of those songs. But I'm not really a big fan of the song. Maybe if I listen to it a couple more times.
I actually didn't get a chance to listen to this one. So, I have no comment. Number 9! Kirameku Namida wa Hoshi ni by Sachi Tainaka. Kirameku Namida wa Hoshi ni Kaze ni nori
like it.
Yeah, I think this is a decent song too.
She did the opening for the first season of Fate Stay Night, and that was her debut single, and that was really good too.
This song's also for that
yes, it's the too, it's the opening it? Theme to yes. second.
Yeah,
Fate. Yeah. Fate. How'd you say to say it?
Fate Stay Night.
Second.
Fate Stay Night. Second.
But I think she's really good. I think so.
Nah, I don't care.
Yeah, I think the song's decent. Okay.
I like the first.
I'd like it more if I actually watched the series, I think.
Yeah, I liked the first season song, Disillusion. I like that one a lot better than this one. But they're still good.
Number 8. Jun Renka by Shonen no Kaze. I have to tell you that I was like 100% more interested in the actual video than I was the song. Because this song's like 7 minutes long, and I swear it's like 30 seconds of actual content that just gets repeated over and over and over. But like the video is this whole big storyline going on, and so I was like watching it and I'm like, hey, I want to find out what happens next. But song, I didn't give a crap about. That's my expert opinion.
That's unfortunate.
I don't know, it just did nothing for me. So. Number 7. Return of Precious by Yuna Ito.
Still don't like it.
This has been like the third week in a row that I've looked at the Oricon charts and she's been on the top 10. So I guess
okay.
I guess there's something to this song, but I've yet to actually hear what's so great about it.
I'll give her one thing. Compared with all the other like groups that have been on Oricon lately, like they haven't had much staying power. But this chick, she releases a single, and it stays on the freaking chart for, like, 500 weeks. I'm not kidding. Her other song, like, what was it? Endless Story, her first single? I swear to God, I looked at the Oricon chart, like last month or 2 months ago, and it was still on the chart. So I'll give her that, but otherwise somebody I don't like her. Somebody out there likes it. Not me.
Where are we at then? We are at number 6, This Love by Angela Aki. Yeah, you know, when I watched this video, when I started watching it, I was like, why is Vanessa Carlton singing in Japanese? And then I realized it wasn't Vanessa Carlton. I don't know, it's something really weird to me, like, because, I mean, she isn't full-on Japanese, she's got to be, you know, mixed. But she looks, like, Caucasian, like, a lot of the time. And it's so weird to see this girl who looks so Caucasian, like, singing in Japanese. It's kind of like, what's her name? Crystal K, or whatever her name is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, her. But she has a really pretty voice, though, so she can sing in any
still
language.
Just, I don't know, it's a little,
to it.
A little strange. Like, when I see her singing, it just, like, throws me off. But the actual song, this song was, it's one of those songs where if I had it in my iPod and it came up in shuffle, I would listen to it, but I would never actually search it out. That's my thought. Anybody?
She's not really Japanese.
So she doesn't count. She doesn't belong on the Oricon singles. Alright.
Exactly. Right.
Number 5. Hanabi by Ikimono Gakkari. I like this one. It's fun. It's rocking.
Yeah, I thought this one was fun. Nice guitar.
And Japan has a lot of rock bands where it's two guys and a female lead singer. I have noticed. This is yet another one of those kind of bands.
Which kind of bugs me
Why
sometimes.
Is that?
I don't know, because you know, they have all these guys, and oh yeah, let's get this really cute girl to rock out.
Hey, I like cute girls rocking out. So.
I don't like ELT,
but girls rock. I know. So well.
Yeah, but you guys are guys. I'm a chick.
You guys are so guyish. What's up with that?
Garnish.
I still love you guys.
Number 4. Koi no Tsubomi by Koda Kumi.
I still like this one.
She's hot.
I do too.
That's my analysis. She's hot.
Yeah. Well, I find her, I guess depending on what I see her in, I either find her, you know, attractive or she's a little ugly.
I don't know. This one, she was just hot.
But yeah, I think she looked really good in this song. It's a really nice upbeat song, and it's not too overly sexy. I mean, at one point, there's a bit of cleavage, but there really isn't much anything in there.
I like.
Not that that's
like
bad or anything.
I like the song. Yeah, and she's a cute gal, you know. So, thumbs up.
Upgrade.
I'm not upgrade. I mean, well.
Great.
I don't know. She's getting kind of cuter as she goes along. So, all right, upgrade, I guess. Number 3, Milk Tea by Masaharu Fukuyama. Demo daisuki yo anata ni aitai mata nemure nu yoru no owaranai inori oshaberi shitari te o tsunaidari konya yume de aetara. And,
do we still like this one?
I don't think we like this one anymore. Okay, I mean, it's not bad, but it reminds me way too much of, like, a country western song.
Yeah, I actually I didn't really enjoy the song that much, but when I actually heard it, I realized who it was, and I like Fukuyama's other stuff. I guess his one really big song that people would know is called Sakurazaka. Sometime last year, he did the opening theme for the drama Slow Dance. I like the song Sakurazaka, and I like his voice, so I'll go ahead and give him a thumbs up, even though I really haven't listened to the song very much.
I think my problem is like, it's kind of like Here I Can, where I feel like I'm supposed to like it, but I just don't. But I feel like something's wrong with me because I don't like it.
Yeah, maybe some of it.
Are you hating on Ken?
He's had like two good songs, and the rest I just. Aww. I mean, okay. I mean,
See,
he totally redeemed himself with "I Want to Be a Pop Star." Love that video, so awesome. But just otherwise, I just it's just it's like detention. You know, I'm just sitting there. I just don't want to listen to it, but it forced me to listen to it, and I just don't want to hear it.
She has one song that I don't like, and that's it.
And that damn Grandfather's Clock. Yeah, that song was like freaking.
I hate
everywhere.
That song.
Like a bajillion times.
I hate that song. Other than that, I love Ken.
Number 2, Teo Dasuna by Gaku MC and Kazutoshi Sakura from Mr. Children.
I like this one. It was different.
Again, it was like, I liked the video, but the song was...
Yeah, I liked the video.
I liked the video because it has a bunch of animals kicking around a soccer ball. So it's like, oh look, they photoshopped that rhinoceros, so he's kicking a ball around. That's kind of funny. I'm so easy to please.
Yeah, This song kind of comes off as like it should be the opening to an anime or something. I don't know if it actually
is it for the World Cup or something.
But
maybe?
It really looked.
Is it for what?
Because that's what I was thinking was it maybe had some sort of tie into the World Cup coming up.
It looked like it really had like some strong ties to some sort of soccer event, whether it was a soccer themed TV show or World Cup or whatever. I don't follow soccer. I don't care.
American.
But the video was
they're American.
But the video was pretty cool. There were a lot of people like doing kung fu, kicking soccer balls and stuff like that. Yeah. That was cool.
Number one this week on the Oricon Weekly Singles, Daite Senorita by Tomohisa Yamashita. Daite, 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 senorita. 強く強く強く離さないで飾ってカッコつけずにそばにおいでよ抱いて抱いて抱いてセニョリータ強く強く強く離さないであなたのその唇がじれったいのよ
ヤマピ
ー One of Johnny's many young boys. Or maybe not so young, but
he's not really that young.
And who is Tomohisa Yamashita there, Cody?
He's Yamapi. He was in I guess he's still he's in News, which is a Johnny's Junior band actually. They're not actually a Johnny's band, they're just juniors. And then he was in Chuji to Akira, which was a special collab. Oh, Yamapi, yeah. He's so popular. Everybody loves him.
He's been... I recognize him from a whole lot of dramas.
I thought he kind of looked familiar.
He's probably been in, like, one every season for the past while.
He's definitely one of the most used Johnny's members out there.
Oh, I've heard he's used, but...
Yeah. And I think that's the only reason he's number one this week.
The video is like great. Come on, the song I could talk about the video.
Okay,
great.
I thought the song sucked, and I feel really bad because I love Yamapi and I love News and just Johnny's in general, but I kind of imagine them like having kind of like a Kinky Kids feel or like Taki and Tsubasa feel, where it's kind of like almost like a poppy lounge singer feel, you know? And I heard the name of the song, and I was like, oh, this is going to be, like, so romantic and classical and really nice. And what happens?
He's kicking
his rocking guitar, and he's getting it. Yeah, and he's getting beat up. And I'm like, what the hell is this?
I love when that guy's went up the hill towards him and kicks him. And that was awesome. But now, what was there was that, I'm going to go find it, because this really reminds me of another song recently from these Johnny's guys.
Who did it?
I don't know. It had...
How many guys were
it? Was two guys, and it had kind of a, I thought it had like some sort of Spanish name to it.
Okay, well, there's like Kinky Kids, and then there's Tacky and Spock.
It might have been them.
They released one that was called Venus. That was their, like... And then they did Serenade.
I know I've got to hear you. Talk amongst yourselves while I look for it real quick. Any final opinions?
Yeah, Johnny's are really hot, and they're really talented, but this song is not that good. For Yamapi, that is. I expected more, and he did not deliver, and I feel so betrayed.
So any final thoughts on this week's Oricon top 10?
They won't be in the top 10 next week, more than likely.
That sounds about right.
I never liked what's in the top 10.
Yeah, I'm same kind
really?
Of
way. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel the same way. That's
I really
why
don't. Like, all my favorites like make it up to 20 or 15.
I've never even kept up with the singles until this podcast.
That too.
Yeah, look.
I really didn't care too much.
Well, I think if some of the stuff I liked actually made it up there, I would care more. But it's just like, I know I look at it and I'm like, meh.
Speaking of which,
Ragfair.
Go ahead.
What? Ragfair releases a single next week. Everyone buy it.
Speaking of which, some of the other placings on the Oricon list. Number 11, Aya Kamiki. I don't know. 12, Flow. 3, Mihimar GT. 14, Orenji Denji. 15, Arashi. So they dropped from 10 to 15. 16, Uberworld. 17, Aoi Project. 18, Coco. 19, Namie Amuro. 20 is JK. 21 is Road of Major, which I like them, so I'll have to check out that song. Wow, Winds dropped all the way to 30.
Oh,
Snap, 27. Yui Horie at 25. She was a top 10 last week, I think. So she's way down there.
I feel bad for the Oricon. Like, Japanese artists are having such a hard time lately keeping hits and stuff like that. Have you noticed? Like, 1 week, they might be in the top 10. Next week, they're pretty much gone off the chart.
It's kind of like movies over here. Like, you know, the opening weekend, they do, you know, decent money, and then they just drop like a rock after that.
I don't know. I think the music scene is in trouble. I think just in general, like, around the world. There doesn't
that's a common thing to happen when there's not a lot of sales in general, or not a lot of data. You know, very small numbers can skew things.
Okay, it was Shuji to Akira with Seishun Amigo. That's the one it reminds me of.
So that was like the one song that they released. Yeah. And it still had Yamaki in it.
That and this Senorita song sound like really, really close to me.
Gee, maybe it was Yamaki then. He was like, I want it to sound like the other song I did.
So that was the Oricon top tens for this week, this podcast.
Woo!
We're actually missing our morning scene guy, so we're not going to have any morning scene this week, but he will be back next week, and we've got some very interesting goings-on as far as that goes. But to wrap up this show, let's do a little bit of Japanese drama news. I believe Adam has something to talk about here.
Yeah, well, I guess you can't really call it news because, well, the show's 10 years old. But
oldie
recently,
but goodie.
Yes, exactly. Recently, I really don't know how I came across it, but probably in the chat room or something. Somebody sent me a link to information about a show called Iguana no Musume. Now, I guess this show has just recently been subbed, so you can go and download subs now for that show. I'm just going to read a synopsis of this because I really can't say anything better than what's written here. This is from the jdrama.com site.
Very good
site,
yes.
It's a good resource if you're... Yes, it's a very good site for information on Japanese dramas. It's spelled jdorama.com. Here's their synopsis. This is a drama based on the manga strip. Rika is a high school senior with no self-esteem. She thinks she's an iguana. Why? Her mother claims that whenever she sees Rika, she sees an iguana instead of a real human. Because of this, Rika has never received or shown any love by her mother. Rika's younger sister, Mami, has been getting all of the love and attention by the mother. Rika likes Noboru a lot, but can't tell him her feelings. Mikami is jealous of Rika and refuses to let Noboru go out with her. Kaori plays Rika's friend and is always encouraging her. Will Rika end up with Noboru? Will he turn her away if he finds out she's an iguana? And
that sounds so cute. Cute! The
theme song is Your Song by Elton John, too.
That's cool.
This drama is amazing. I've only had the opportunity to watch the first episode, but it's just... it's really trippy. Seeing this little girl, and then they like replace her in a shot from her mother's view, and it's this really hideous looking iguana in like a little schoolgirl dress or something.
Oh my god!
I have to watch this. It's hilarious, but it's also so unsettling. Looking at this.
Now this is live action, right? Man, that sounds...
Yeah, this is a live action series.
I really want to watch this. For being so old, how are the effects?
Really, aside from the iguana puppets. I guess there really aren't any effects besides that. And I think they were done really well. I mean, they aren't, like, totally... Oh, you can tell this looks like a piece of rubber. I mean, the model's pretty well done, and a lot of the shots are, like, done with, like, reflections or, like, reflections in the window or something. So it isn't, like, a really clear shot mm-hmm. of the iguana. So it's good enough to be believable. And this is a TV series. I think the effects were done
now,
see, well.
When you said that, I was thinking an actual real iguana just stuck inside a real schoolgirl uniform. Just kind of sitting
no,
oh, my God.
That would be pretty funny, but I think this one actually comes off a little creepier. Yeah, this
How
drama
many episodes
was,
is it?
It's 10 episodes. It ran this same time back in 96 from about April to June. So it's right at 10 years old. I really don't know any of the actors or actresses in here. I thought I recognized the mother. Her name's Kawashima Naomi is the actress. But I went and I typed her name into Google trying to find what other shows she's done, and all I got were, like, naked pictures. So
nice.
I guess if that's what you're in for. And I mean,
okay, Google.com.
I mean, she's a pretty girl. Yeah, Google.com. K-A-W-A. I don't know, I've only seen an episode, but it seems like it's going pretty... The synopsis says it's based on a manga, and I think that really shows that the plot kind of echoes what you expect to find in a relationship manga from that era, I guess.
Awesome. So you will report back when you've watched more of it?
Sure. I'll report back and keep you updated.
And I have the first episode of Gal Circle, so I can watch that, and I can say next week what I thought of it. I watched a brief little bit of it, but I haven't watched the whole thing.
Yeah, I want to start watching that, too.
I want to watch this iguana one. This one sounds awesome.
Well, you can find it at the usual place. Go up to dadicts.com. There aren't really many people seeding the series, I guess, because the site's all done with torrents.
Maybe you should
so,
have it.
Yeah, anybody who's listening to this, I'm currently downloading the second episode, and... Well, I'll eventually get them all, so I'll probably be up there seating for a little while.
We should, you know, we should do...
If anybody else wants to watch it, now...
Next week, we should talk about the pros and cons of Japanese TV over the internet. Because, you know, just this week, the RIAA came out against the downloading and the quote-unquote piracy of music videos. Now...
Wow!
Now,
I was just kidding about
now,
that.
Now that they know that they can get money from it, so if I, you know, I should have put that in our show notes, and we should have done that this week, but we'll do that next week as well, because that's a very hot topic among, of course, the community that we are part of. So, I think that just about wraps it up for this week. What do you guys think?
Yeah,
there's a little bit of a music-heavy show, but, you know, that's fine. It's going to be like that sometimes. Hopefully next week we can get our scene guy back on here, and maybe another special secret guest, possibly. Don't want to get hopes up too much.
Hopefully.
We want to see.
I think this week went a little bit better than last week. Would you agree? Not as...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Depends. Some things went better, some things
worse?
Did not. My effing connection.
Okay, for our listeners, what was worse?
Oh, nothing.
So our trivial personal problems are nothing. We're doing this for our listener.
Exactly.
Well,
I love you, listeners. Oh, you guys forgot to do something. We forgot to give a shout-out.
Doko.
Yes, to Doko.
Ooh. I didn't know about that.
Yes.
Doko.
Oh, yeah.
Doko said we had to give a shout-out to him.
Eyebone's a fatty, and she's a damn smoker. So there you go. There's There's your shout-out.
Another smoker.
Don't go.
You gotta watch out for them.
So anyway, that was Morning Radio, Episode 2. If you'd like to contact us, any questions, comments, suggestions, death threats, marriage proposals, anything like that, anything you want to know about from the world of Asian culture and entertainment, anything we screwed up on that you want to tell us we screwed up on and correct us on, anything else, you can contact us at radio@gomorning.com. That's radio@gomorning.com. You can see our nifty website, which will hopefully be up by the time you hear this, at radio.gomorning.com. You will soon be able to get to us through iTunes and Yahoo and all those other fun things. So next episode, we will let you know about all of that. And I think that does it. Right? Yes.
Yes.
Such a lively group. Well, that's our show, and thank you for listening, and we will see you all next time.
Bye. Yay.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. I'd like to thank you today for flying with Morning Airlines and letting us serve you for all your Asian culture and entertainment podcast needs. As always, on behalf of myself and your flight crew, we hope your ride today was an enjoyable one. I do believe that in this second morning flight, it was quite a bit smoother and a little more pleasant. Inaugural flight, but of course, as they say, you can always get better and you can always improve. For the remainder of this flight, we've decided to do something a little bit different than our usual fare. Typically, we like to bring you some nice podcast safe Asian music, but with our show today having dealt with the tragic loss of Japanese pop supergroup Sweets, we decided to bring you a little medley of clips from some of their most popular songs, condensed into chunks small enough that hopefully we will not be sued by their management, or label, or the Japanese version of the RIAA, or RRIAA, or anybody else who might want to sue us. As for me, that concludes this final message for this second morning flight. Of course, as always, myself and the entire flight crew are always here for your questions, comments, concerns, or anything else you might have to say. And dear Sweets, we loved you, and we will miss you. And as for my beloved Aya, I hope she goes on to bigger and better things. And even if, tragically, when she becomes of age, she finds herself as part of some sleazy, soft on-demand video, unfortunately, I will still be forced to support her and give my money for such trashy, yet no doubt highly enjoyable video entertainment. Thank you for flying with Morning Airlines, and we'll see you next time. Lolita, strawberry-sama, motto, kagayaki wo kanjitai, manara shinjirareru kara. Lolita, strawberry-sama, hito, tokimeki de akaichi, sanaka jitsu datte.
Come true, どんなに信じても、でもどんなに信じても、